It's time for the show, but wouldn't you know, at 570-POD-WOD-1, you can say hi, let your feelings fly, then say goodbye, 'cause you're done. There's iTunes too, you can leave a review, and say we're not poo, we'd appreciate the nod. Thanks, bye!
Y'all heard?
One, yeah?
Sure.
One, two, three. Hey, everybody. This is Y'all heard. A podcast from me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
We're not related.
And this is a show that is hopping down the bunny trail of Easter eggs to... So you can hear with big rabbit ears, now you're the rabbit, some things that we learned about recently.
Someone didn't pre-write their intro. Nope. In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know.
Yeah, like I'm slightly unprepared, but I put so much into the topic. This happens very frequently with me. If you haven't picked up on it, listener, I put so much into the topic that I forget about the other parts and then I just have to make them up.
It's okay. If you need me to make it up next time, let me know.
Okay.
It'll be worse, but I'll do it. So I'm going to spare you. I'm going to say how I am. I haven't slept right for 2 days. Yesterday, I almost fell asleep in a restaurant. And so I'm a little not okay. And I, oh gosh, me and Aaron fell for the scam that is buying a house. In case I didn't tell you, listeners, we didn't want to buy a house, which I don't like to admit that because I know there are some people who want to buy a house that cannot buy a house, but we didn't want to buy a house. Yeah. So there's no options in this town for rentals. Anyway, so we bought a house way overpriced. I kept going like, this open concept downstairs looks smaller in person than it did online. And Aaron's like,
oh, because it did look big online.
Yeah.
Maybe you have secret rooms.
I hope so, because it's deceptively small in person. And so we got couches, but we just like bought couches. We're just like, you know, it's not a crazy couch. It'll just fit. It fit, but they got delivered today, which by the way, guys, I don't drive. This new house is 9 minutes away. I need to like take a 13-minute Uber just to go from one house to the other house. I had to wake up super early. I'm just like so sleep deprived. I'm there. It just like, it just takes extra work because I'm not made for this town. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm there. They deliver it. I look at it and I'm like, holy shit, these couches look huge in this space. How are we going to fit a dining room? And then I just said, I don't care. And then I went home because I don't, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Maybe I can return it. I don't know. I'm too tired. We're just going to live with gigantic couches and I've given up on everything.
We're going to eat on them. We're going to sleep on them.
And I started, oh man, I was so tired. I started putting together a stool. We bought stools for the kitchen island and the stools also look big. And I almost, I don't even know though, because I didn't get to finish.
All the sizes are reversed.
Yep. So I'm almost done.
You should
see
the keys to the house. They're like the size of a car.
So I almost finished putting the stool together. I'm like, shit, yeah, that wasn't that bad. And then I realized the key part of the stool was made upside down. Not made upside down, but I put it upside down. So then I just left the house with gigantic sofas. Half incorrectly made stools. And I'm just like, I'm not going to look at this house for a whole week. And I'm going to pretend it's not happening. Also, thank God my father didn't buy it yet. He wanted to get us a housewarming present. And which was kind of cute, but it was like very specific. He's like, I'm going to buy you a new TV. And I was like, okay. Because like we didn't ask for that, but I was like, okay. I was like, Aaron has always been dreaming of a new TV. And at first, Aaron was like, no, tell your dad not to get it. And then suddenly he went from tell your dad not to get it to, granted, we have like a 55-inch right now. He went from tell your dad not to get us a TV to tell your dad to get us a 77-inch TV. And I was like,
is that bigger or smaller than the couch?
That's, yeah. Just so is I don't know, but like, so as soon as the couches were delivered, I was like, I had to call my dad. I was like, no, don't buy us the TV. Don't buy us the TV. We would like basically be sitting on the TV, like the couch.
Yeah.
We would be living in that 77 inch screen. So, yeah, it's weird because it's a 3-bedroom home. You'd think like, whoa. But for some reason, the kitchen is bigger than everything. The kitchen and the hallways that you can't put furniture in take up most of the space. So, yeah, that's the house we're fucked with.
Blessed, she said blessed with.
Yeah, blessed but with an F-U-C-K-E-D, alternative spelling.
So, guys, you could contact us at 570-PODWAD1 if you want to send Marissa a housewarming gift that says live, laugh, love on it somewhere.
No! I'm being too long-winded, but did I tell you once that I don't think it's a live, laugh, love exactly. I know I told you this. When I was dating Aaron, and he lived in Boston, I lived in Philly, and I would visit him every other weekend. I don't know whether he was doing it to like just, you know, make it more inviting to me. Like, I can't imagine he would have bought this on his own. But like one weekend, all of a sudden I come and there's like, he put a chair in the corner, like aesthetically, like in place of a table, like instead of an accent table, and a tiny block that said like, home is where the heart is. And I was like, what is this? It might as well have said live, laugh, love. And it was just so funny because I was just like, why is this for me? I don't like, why is this here? And it's still in our house. And I hope it's somewhere that we never find it because I don't want it in my house. Anyway, so how are you?
My mom quit her job. Before when we were recording the last episode, my mom had quit her job, and by now I'm already so jealous of her. She gets to do whatever she wants whenever she wants, and she doesn't have to deal with people who suck shit.
Wait, I'm sorry. Let's
backtrack. But I do.
Your mother quit her job and is of retirement age. Yes. You want to see someone who quit their job, isn't of retirement age, and is not okay? Look at me, okay?
Turn on my camera.
Yeah, okay? So, you know, make sure you have the right parameters there before you start being jealous.
But connected to that and your problem, since she has a house, she has, like, enough stuff to keep her busy. But she's, mm-hmm. like, blowing through her whole entire list of things to keep her busy. So, we'll
see
how
that goes. Does your mother crochet or do anything like yarn based?
No.
Okay.
She prefers data entry.
I was saying, there's so many like yarn groups. I don't think there's data entry social groups.
No. But everybody wants somebody to enter data. That's the thing. Like, none of the people who are in the office that she left are going to do stuff like that. Like, it's beneath them. When my mom was always like, I want to see how fast I can do it.
Well, maybe they're going to beg her and like really drastically like make a big effort to get her back. Cause
nah,
children don't do data entry.
Yeah.
And children definitely don't work in churches.
Yeah. I'm just tired of doing the stuff that I do.
You want to
Yeah, we're not going to solve that problem here.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about we do an icebreaker?
Okay, that sounds good.
Icebreaker.
What is something that you collected as a kid? Specifically, if you could, something that you don't collect anymore.
Oh, I could only think of one thing, but I realize I don't totally not collect it anymore, but the vibe has changed. So as a kid, I used to collect rocks in a science nerd way.
Okay.
Like, I used to like identify the rocks. I think I know
where this is going.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I used to be at a rock club. I used to like,
it was really, a band.
No, I used to really be into like a fucking, I don't know what the fuck. My mother used to take me to a museum on Saturdays and we would talk about different types of geodes and shit. I was such a nerd, and what happened to me? I'm still a nerd, but I'm not smart anymore. I was the smart nerd.
Downfall of all kid nerds.
Yeah. But now I collect crystals. So yeah, for like aesthetic reasons and to pretend they're magical, and I can identify them. I can identify maybe a quartz as long as it's like tumbled or like cut correctly. Yeah. So I forgot that I collect crystals now. Not so much though. But yeah, so basically in a nerdy geologist kind of way, I used to collect rocks. How about you?
I don't think I collected anything smart.
Okay. What did you collect dumb?
I worked at a toy store for a little while, and they sold Beanie Babies. And like watching people come in to buy Beanie Babies made me go, I should probably get in on this Beanie Baby
thing.
How old
were you?
Probably high school.
That's cute.
But I didn't really like have many. The thing I was thinking of is I used to collect, I'm just going to say cards, because it had like baseball cards, basketball cards, hockey cards, football cards. I had those, are they MTV or VH1 cards?
Oh, yeah. That you have?
I had comic book cards.
Oh, yeah. I used to collect Marvel comic book cards too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I collected sports cards, and there were people that my mom worked with, like adults that my mom worked with, that also collected cards, but they collected them with purpose. They collected them to try to get entire sets and then like collect the sets or sell the sets or trade them or whatever. And so they took all of their junk cards and they gave them to me. And it was like four boxes of gigantic boxes of cards. So
that's cool.
I still have some of those too.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something real gross before we continue. If I said I was blowing chunks, what does that mean to you?
I think you're vomiting.
Okay. Aaron uses that phrase to mean when he takes a big dump, and I think it's disgusting and inaccurate.
I mean, if he's doing more than one chunk, it's a big dump.
I just, when you burped, it reminded me of that. Sorry. Yeah.
So since I got to come up with the icebreaker and the last answer, I built in my own transition because Marissa, Major League Baseball is starting up kind of around
don't
now.
Don't make me listen about baseball. Oh, man. And please tell me there's something real silly.
I'm really hoping that this doesn't bore you to death.
Okay.
But it's not about baseball.
Okay, phew.
But baseball was my sort of like transition topic. Okay. Baseball has a slow start. The baseball season is 6 months long.
And
they have 162 games. So I used to be big into baseball, but I kind of lost the attention span for it because it's so slow.
Because it's so fucking boring?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to discredit anybody who likes baseball.
I am.
But I feel like you have to like...
boring.
I don't know any... like, you have to like the stuff that goes with baseball. Or, like, I couldn't imagine somebody sitting through a whole entire baseball game only focused on the baseball game. Like, let's go get a hot dog, or let's walk around the stadium, or even if you're home, like, let's play on the phone or do my taxes, whatever it might be.
I'll do anything if you give me a hot dog.
So my family made me play baseball. I liked baseball cards. Like I said, I still got a bunch at the house. And that is just set up, Marissa, thank God, right? For today's topic, which is about a con man. So our story begins with a kind of familiar story these days, unfortunately. There's this guy named Anthony Curcio, and he played football at the University of Idaho. But after he suffered an injury, he became addicted to prescription painkillers. So after being addicted, he went into rehab and came out sober, but life wasn't done kicking him around just yet.
Okay.
He transferred closer to home to the University of Washington State, not Washington, D.C. I just felt like I had to say that.
Thank you.
Eventually he graduated. Wikipedia says he started a business that bought and sold casino tables and gaming equipment. But for some reason, that was very vague to me. The local police headed out for him and they confiscated his entire inventory because they said he didn't have the proper permits. So that business kind of went out of business.
Okay.
In the meantime, on the happy side of things, he married his high school sweetheart and had two kids and eventually was running, I think, a real estate company. But the economy collapsed because of the housing bubble and he ran a real estate company. So things weren't going great. And then by this time he was back on drugs again. So Anthony did what any of us would do when we were faced with hardship. He had a family to care for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So he got a big life insurance policy.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
No, he had a family to care for. So he robbed an armored car.
That's what any of us would do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what would you do?
Give up.
What? Ask somebody for help?
I don't know.
He watched a Brinks truck make deliveries to a Bank of America in Monroe, Washington for 3 months, taking notes and really planning his heist. After noting the security cameras and the blind spots in the truck and police response times and identifying an escape path, he took the masterful step of posting an ad on Craigslist. Now, I don't have the ad, but it basically said that he sought 15 to 20 workers for it said in the ad that it was fictitious. Okay.
What?
15 to 20 workers for a fictitious city cleanup project. And he promised them $28.50 an hour.
What in the, who the hell would sign up for a fictitious project?
Somebody who wants $28 an hour.
I mean, yeah, I guess I would. What am I telling you about?
The laborers were told to wear jeans, a blue shirt, work shoes, and a yellow safety vest. The ad also told the participants that they needed to bring safety goggles and a painter's mask. The ad directed them to meet in the Bank of America parking lot at the exact time that he planned to rob the armored car. So what he did was dress up in the same outfit that he asked everybody else to dress up in, so that when he was running away with the money, nobody could describe what he looked like because everybody was wearing the same thing.
Oh, wow. Sick. That's actually pretty clever.
He also wore a wig just in case.
Wow.
And the wig, I mean, I know you're a big fan of wigs, Marissa, but the wig ultimately led to his downfall.
Oh, no. Okay.
So what he did was he dressed like everybody else. He pepper sprayed a Brinks guard, grabbed two bags of money that just happened to have an estimated $400,000 in them.
Okay.
Then he ran down to a creek, threw the money into an inner tube, but like an inner tube that you would use in a pool.
Yeah.
That had like, I guess, a seat in it. I don't know. But he threw the money in there and he hopped in after. And then he traveled about a quarter mile down a creek using a cable system that he had previously installed.
So he deserves the money. That's enough effort.
Then he got out, hopped in the trunk of the car of an associate who drove away and he was home free with the money. Okay. Nobody stopped him. But as you said, Marissa, this was very well planned. So he did do a few test runs leading up to things.
Wait, so nobody got paid that he put the ad for?
I don't think they did, no.
Fucker, he should at least have to pay them.
Yeah. I bet you could probably like sue him for $50.
Yeah.
So he did a few test runs leading up to it, and his preparation is what kind of pinched him. A homeless man reported that he saw one of the test runs. He saw a guy who was retrieving a disguise from a nearby trash can, and he thought that it was strange, so he wrote down the license plate of the car that man got into. Because unhoused people can care about the community and can contribute to the community.
That's true. That is very true.
So the FBI watched him for a little while, got some of his DNA from a discarded bottle, like on TV, tested it with the wig that they found at the scene.
Oh, wow.
And the mask that he dumped, and they had enough to arrest him.
Damn.
So he was sentenced to 6 years, which kind of, I mean, 6 years is a long time. I'm not going to pretend it's not, but I kind of expected, I guess he wasn't armed. So maybe that's why it wasn't more.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But he was sentenced to 6 years and he quickly made friends with a very famous drug dealer named George Jung or Young. I'm not sure. It starts with a J. This guy encouraged Curcio to write a book.
Okay.
Because what else are you going to do in prison?
Yeah.
So he did. In the book, he says that he spent 7 months in solitary confinement. See if you could see the fallacy that I identify in this, Marissa.
Okay.
He served 7 months in solitary confinement where he says he received beatings, witnessed suicides, and had roaches crawl on him at night.
He wouldn't witness suicides if he was in solitary confinement?
Yeah, unless it was his own.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And then he wouldn't finish the book.
Yeah.
So what he recounted roaches would crawl on him at night when he slept.
Ew.
He recounted all of this in the book Heist and High. The story, this is from the book itself, the story of Anthony's descent from a life full of promise into the hell of prescription drug addiction and the need to do anything, even rob an armored truck, for what he thought would be one last fix.
I don't like the title. That's all.
I don't either. Heist and High. I don't know what, like, there's not like a thing where they're trying to reference something and just change a couple words.
Exactly. It doesn't like make sense, but yeah.
And what rhymes with heist? Maybe they were going for high and dry, but here's what you don't do when you're trying to do something like that. You don't take high and make it dry. So you don't take high and dry and go heist and high.
Yeah, that's stupid. Okay.
Anyway, here we go. The book was withdrawn. I don't know what that means. I guess pulled out of publication.
Yeah.
By Curcio because he admitted that it contained inaccuracies.
Wait, who's Curcio?
He's the guy who wrote it. He's our main character today.
Why the fuck did he write it if then he was going to pull it to say that he himself made it inaccurate?
Because I think he didn't expect a lot of people to read it, and a lot of people started to read it, and it won like a couple of awards before he was like, oh, I got to pull this.
He could have just said, oh, this was fiction, or this is creative. I don't know.
Well, it's okay, Marissa. He didn't stop writing. He also wrote 20 children's books.
Whoa. Including, what?
Including My Daddy's in Jail, which is the title of no less than 7 different children's books you can find on Amazon.
God. By the way, sorry, just quick aside. Did you hear that news story about like that lady whose husband died and then she wrote a children's book about like coping with the death of the dad, but she actually killed him?
It's very similar, I guess, to this one, right?
Yes.
Daddy put himself in jail and then wanted to write a book to help his children learn about what it was like to have a daddy who's in jail.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But okay, yeah, sorry, continue.
He also illustrated all the books.
I bet that was great.
The reviews say that some of the drawings are weird. just that they look weird. Like the person just didn't like his style of art. And most of them say that the book itself, the words in the book, had very little substance to them. He has a cricket, I think, that is, or maybe a roach, that tells the story. Like he's like the narrator of the story. And,
to make it thematically.
You have to like, whenever you turn the page, you have to find him and all the busyness of the drawings that he did.
I mean, I find that kind of cool.
Right. And most people were like, my kid liked that part, but they didn't like the book.
Oh, okay.
Okay. His books, all the rest of his books are all about famous athletes and sports stuff. A majority of them are coloring books, too. So, right is very loose here.
No, wait. He made coloring books about famous athletes or jail books about famous, or jail coloring? Like, what are the coloring books?
The coloring books are not related to jail. Okay. Everything after My Daddy's in Jail was all related to famous sports figures. Like, he's got a book about LeBron James, which is just a bunch of drawings of LeBron James that he did that you can color.
What's his name again?
Anthony Curcio. Curcio.
Okay. Oh. His drawings are fine.
Okay. I didn't say were bad. Just some, no, it wasn't like, some people's. Yeah.
They are a little weird, but like.
I didn't like his depictions of real people.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I don't like the way Steph Curry looks in the first place.
Oh, wait. Oh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, they're not great, but they're not bad. They're like, they're fine. I thought they were going to look real weird.
No. Okay. Almost immediately after his 2013 release from jail, Curcio started to basically be a motivational speaker.
Of course he does.
As his Facebook page says, he was, quote, informing the younger generation about the dangers of drugs and alcohol, the consequences that follow, and most importantly, to never stop being themselves.
Okay. I mean, maybe stop being yourself if yourself is a person who robbed armored cars to get high.
Now, I told you that he was a con man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the con is yet, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the publishing industry.
I believe that.
I also would buy that it was the motivational speaking circuit.
Yeah, yes.
But it's not like he started a meme coin or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to it in a little bit.
Okay.
And Marissa, if you Google his name, you might have already read about it.
No, I tried not to jump ahead. I just wanted to see how he draws.
So he did 9 years of public speaking, including a TEDx talk at the University of Idaho. But the hitch with speaking about your drug and criminal background is that after you do it once, there's not really like a lot of reason to bring you back.
Yeah.
And I mean, by this point too, it was, almost 10 years after he was released from prison. It's not like the FBI is still watching him, right? Like that was ages ago.
Yeah.
So according to the FBI, from 2022 to 2024, Anthony Curcio and Yosef Bondarchuk sold and attempted to sell sports and Pokemon cards with false certifications from PSA.
Ooh. Don't fuck with the Pokemon, bro.
The Professional Sports Authenticator. That's the name of the company. Mm-hmm. PSA is a company that, as you might guess, authenticates and grades sports cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this part's a little boring, but it's necessary.
Okay.
When PSA started as a grading, and their idea of a grading service was sort of proposed, like, we will authenticate your goods. Many people were against it because, first, you have to pay them to do it. And secondly, I don't know who these people are. Like, why am I letting them evaluate my stuff and put a price tag on it?
Yeah.
But as time went by and sales proliferated online, as well as at like in-person trade shows, the need for a service kind of started to grow. Like, if you wanted to print a Honus Wagner rookie card, you could do that. Because you can get like the card stock, you can get the picture. Like, so we need somebody who's going to try to authenticate these things and make them as good as, you know.
Yeah.
And they've had their own share of problems. So we'll get to them in a bit. Oh, no, never mind. We're going to get to them now.
Okay.
In 2025, which is only last year.
Yeah.
They had this buyback program where they would buy the cards from you with the price varying based on the grade that they give the card. I mean, I feel like card grading makes sense to you, but just in case it doesn't for other people, I do have an example coming up, but you're going to get a grade, which would be like from, it's not 0 to 10, but let's pretend it's 0 to 10, 10 being the best, 0 being the worst. And if you have a card that's a 10, people are going to pay more money for that than a card that's like a 3 or a 2.
So I'm going to guess that for their card buyback, they would rate your card lower so they could buy it for cheaper and they would lie about it. That's my guess.
And then they would sell it as a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's so fucked up.
And they also bought one of their biggest competitors. And there was a concern that was pitched by a senator, United States senator, that this would create a monopoly in the card industry. But not enough people were concerned about it to prevent it.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah, the way that it works is you take your card, you send it to PSA, they grade it, and they put it in this tamper-proof sealed case with a unique serial number at the top. And if I'm looking to buy your card, I can take the serial number that's on your card and verify the grade and the value of the card when I look it up in the PSA system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're selling it to me for like $500,000 and I take that ID number and I put it into the system, I can be like, it says it's worth $500.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way that it works. The higher the grade, the higher the value. So Curcio would send out his cards, get them graded by the PSA. And when he would get the results back, let's say he would have like a 5, he would replace the serial number that he got from the, he would basically scratch off the serial number that he got back, and he would make a new serial number sticker and put it over.
Oh.
And he would, but he would take real serial numbers from the PSA website, like the same card, but that was graded a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
So for the most part, that sounds pretty easy. It sounds underhanded and it sounds unethical, but it sounds kind of easy.
Yeah, I'm surprised someone else hadn't done that first.
He did this with cards that would sell for thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So if you bought a 10 and it was actually a 9, you might not be able to tell, like you and me. Normal people whose eyes are failing them as time goes on.
Yeah.
But if you bought a 9 and it turned out to be a 5, we would probably even be able to tell the difference.
Gotcha.
So the biggest and best move that Curcio made was that he hired this guy, Yosef, who they call Joe, but I'm probably still going to call him Yosef because I think I wrote it out for everything. He hired him as his patsy. So this was the guy who was actually doing all of the footwork.
Okay.
In terms of like listing them and selling them and mailing them and everything else. Curcio was doing the tampering. Funnily enough, they met while coaching youth basketball.
Oh, cool.
So Yosef was, doing the buying and selling. Curcio was behind everything. The thing is, a few people who bought the cards, like on eBay or a similar marketplace, picked them up, saw that it was a 5 instead of a 9, contacted them and said, yo, what are you trying to pull here? And they would be like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. We're going to send you your money back. You send us the card back. Then they would take that card and relist it with the same information.
Wow.
And basically they would try to sell it again and again until whoever bought it didn't complain.
Wow.
Now, I told you about this before, but just to put a number on it, these guys sold a Michael Jordan rookie card for $171,000 because it was rated a 10.
Uh-huh.
The same exact card rated at an 8 is valued at $7,000.
Okay, wow.
So that's like over $150,000 extra that you would get based on 2 grade levels up.
Yeah, shit.
So the grades are important. All in all, they were convicted of $2 million in fraud. These included charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and wire fraud itself, which could hold up to 40 years of prison.
If they go to prison for longer than he did for stealing from an armored truck, that's insane.
Bondarchuk pled, you know, you're right, because like if, I don't know if they do, but if the Brinks guard, say, had a gun, and he just started firing at whoever was wearing a blue shirt and jeans because that's who sprayed him. Bondarchuk pled guilty. And I assume that was because he would get a reduced sentence because he did testify against Curcio. Mm. Curcio, though, went to trial and he was still found guilty.
Okay.
So he's supposed to be sentenced on May 12th. The prosecutor's office told USA Today he has already filed for an appeal. And Bondarchuk, who entered his respective plea in December, is set to be sentenced in June.
Okay.
I just thought it was kind of crazy. First, that people bother to do this in the first place. I guess it's not surprising.
But yeah, what
I thought was surprising is that I discovered this while I was reading the press release from the FBI, who were patting themselves on the back for a job well done.
Who the fuck cares? We have so many bigger problems.
I thought, I watched the TV show FBI and they're never talking about sports collectibles.
Yeah, what?
But because he was in Washington and selling them to an undercover agent in New York, it counted as, like, I guess, national wire fraud.
Okay.
So this isn't the only fraud that happens. The reason that I ended up at this story was because I was looking through my old bookmarks that I saved just in case I need a topic for the show. And the bookmark that I had was related to problems with a company called PWCC. I didn't write down what it means. So let's see. I mean, the CC is probably like collectibles, professional. Nope. Don't know. But this was a website that was basically a collectibles marketplace. So you could, if you had a ball signed by famous guy.
Oh yeah. Famous guy.
Let's go with Bam Adebayo, since he just scored 83 points in one game in the NBA. So you have a ball that's signed by him. This is a place where you could put it up and sell it to somebody else.
Okay.
Now, they were accused by a competing company because they were accused of shill bidding, alleging that they drove up the prices on their products by placing fake bids using employees or external bidders to just keep kicking that price higher and higher so that people would pay more for it.
Okay.
The lawsuit, however, came conveniently after the company was purchased by global sports platform Fanatics and renamed to Fanatics Collect.
Okay.
But the incidents in the case happened before Fanatics purchased them, so I don't know if Fanatics is on the hook for anything.
Why not?
They're not named in the lawsuit. But if they are, that's okay, because that's a company that sells an Indiana Pacers t-shirt for $40 plus tax and shipping. And the Pacers haven't won more than 20 games this season.
Okay.
They were also accused of tampering with cards that they sold. But that was back in 2019 when I bookmarked this. But their former CEO, Brett Huygens.
Ooh, I like that last name.
Which is how I'm choosing to say it.
Yep.
Hired a lawyer and a card collector himself, Jeffrey Lichtman, who famously represented El Chapo and John Gotti Jr.
Oh, all right.
Lichtman says that he took the case because he, as a collector, wanted to make sure that the defrauded collectors from the company got their money back. So he organized a restitution fund and all those kinds of things.
Okay.
But also in court documents, they say that the claims that they were doing these things were baseless. So I don't know if both things can be true.
Okay.
We will give you your money back, but we didn't do it.
Okay.
To close things out and to circle back to our original subject, when one buyer tried to confront Curcio over the phone about his, you know, about how he got a bad card, Curcio said that he wasn't the person who sold it, but in fact that he had called the number of the leader of the Hell's Angels motorcycle club.
What?
Just in order to try to scare this guy off the phone.
Okay.
In July of 2023, undercover law enforcement purchased a fraudulently misrepresented 1999 Pokemon Venusaur card for $10,500. A card which Bondarchuk had previously attempted to sell on a different online marketplace. So again, that was another relisting.
Not that this isn't important, but like there are more important things.
I struggle with the marketplaces that we've created in this society that somebody's going to pay $10,000. You know, if you said, man, I love that card so much, I'd pay $100 for it, I'd be like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Curcio then mailed the card to an undercover law enforcement purchaser in Manhattan. After the undercover purchaser wired the money to Curcio, a Curcio-controlled bank account, I should say. So Bondarchuk says that he believes Curcio's motive for this whole entire scheme was revenge against PSA. But I don't know what he was seeking revenge for or how he planned to use this as revenge. Perhaps his sales would discredit the PSA program in the long term.
Without more detail, I don't think so.
I'm more convinced that he was just trying to get $2 million in his pocket.
100%.
So that is the tale of Anthony Curcio, a guy who robbed a Brinks truck and then also sold Pokemon cards.
So you said he's getting sentenced in a few months?
In May, yeah.
Oh, I'm curious. Interesting.
I will try to keep an eye on it. You know, the way that my Google experience works is that since I Googled him at least two times, I did do more. But it seems like with me, if I Google something two times, I will get every news story about it for the next 6 months.
So. Okay. Cool.
So, yeah.
That was good. Thank you that it wasn't about baseball.
I have an Incredible Hulk hologram card.
Ooh, I love
that.
I
think it's worth $8.
All right. I actually bought, I haven't bought Marvel trading cards in forever, but I went to, there's this store in Jersey that just sells like retro toys and stuff. And I bought, do you know those trolls from the 90s?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say trolls when we were talking about things that we collected.
Oh.
But I didn't want to like out myself.
Well, see, I could say trolls for myself too, but I collect trolls again. I collect trolls now and troll memorabilia. So you guys have probably heard how I was like so crazy trying to get the trolls perfume, which I eventually got. But yeah, I recently bought some trolls trading cards, which were amazing.
They're classic trolls, right?
Yeah. Not like, oh, fuck, I forgot. I got to always clarify. Yeah, not the fucking whatever's happening now. No.
Yeah.
They're 90s trolls. Justin Timberlake trolls can fuck themselves. Anyway.
That's a good clip.
So, yeah.
It's time for plugs. It's time for.
If you're watching the Lifetime channel, you should watch Who Could Kill a Sweet Old Lady, which is a recent premiere on the channel. And it's about a sweet old lady who may or may not be, I guess, attempted to be killed.
What?
I didn't pitch that right at all.
Wait, can you reword that?
The movie is about a nurse who comes on to take care of an old lady who may be the victim of, like, a murder conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
But the fun part about it is that something you would never see on the Lifetime channel is the whole first hour is basically this woman, this nurse and the old woman trying to warm up to one another in comedic ways. And I was just like, what is this?
I haven't seen a Lifetime movie in a while. I probably should see that. Yeah, I can't remember what my plug was going to be. Did I already plug that weird reality show with the old and young people together?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Marissa, do you know anything about the one where they push somebody off of a boat?
What the fuck? A reality show?
Yeah, it's like a dating reality show and they push somebody off of a boat if you don't want to date them. My mom was telling me about this.
What?
It's on Peacock.
Okay, I'll look that up. I have Peacock. I have no idea. I don't think I want to watch that, but yeah, that sounds interesting.
Oh, no. You know what I really want to plug?
What?
To give you more time. I want to plug DTF St. Louis because...
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm enjoying it quite a bit because it's so weird. And I hate even saying that it's weird because it kind of affects the way that you go into it watching it. But I have found it to be delightful.
Okay.
It is from the same creator of the show Patriot.
Oh, I was thinking Peacemaker. What the hell's Patriot?
Oh, Patriot was an Amazon show.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that the end of your plug?
Yes.
I don't even fucking know.
I didn't mind Peacemaker either.
Oh, yeah. I
Marissa, why don't you plug some candy for these people to buy? For Easter.
Oh, like a good candy?
Yeah.
Like a new candy?
I don't know. I'm just trying to help you out here.
No, the thing is, like, I haven't eaten any new candies lately. I actually have the three new M&M flavors, the lemon meringue, the cherry chocolate cupcake, and the peanut butter cinnamon bun, which doesn't even make sense. But I don't know if they're good. Guys, I don't know. Just this once, I don't have a plug. I'm really tired. I'm plugging sleeping.
I want to plug homelessness because buying a house is stupid.
Yeah, it is. It's a scam. My husband just goes into the scam. They scammed us. Buying a house is a scam. And I told my dad that. My dad goes, you know what? I got to fix my roof, my tiles, and my boiler. It kind of is.
Yeah.
So you heard it here. Someone who would be considered a boomer agrees with us. Yeah, I don't know. There's probably something else. Sorry, guys. I'm in another world.
You know what? But get out there and find some stuff yourself. Why don't you call us and plug us, plug stuff for us?
Yeah, plug us. You can give us a call with what you're plugging us at 570-POD1. You can also email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com. You can also text us at the phone number too.
Ooh. You can also check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/y'allheard. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.